Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at our skin care, warmer weather coming. I can't tell you, yesterday on the UW-Madison campus, it was like, it was amazing. All the kids were in short shorts and halter, the gals in halter tops, and it was like the middle of July here. And I wondered at the time. I knew we were doing this show coming up, and some of the kids had pretty good tans already, and that made me wonder if they're at a tanning booth or what they're up to. At any rate, the warmer weather can have an effect on our skin. Dr. Dick Niles with us by phone, dermatologist. He practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. And he's been a regular on our show for a long time, with us again today to talk about skin care. You may have some questions about your own skin, about issues you've had, and I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Dr. Dick Niles, welcome back.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. As a married man, I'm not sure that do girls really wear halter tops, really? I haven't noticed that at all.
it's a strange thing. The first couple of days, people kind of wandering around and all agog, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But I had something happen to me. I had a cyst removed, and so I got some antibiotics for it. And the one thing they told me was, you know, don't spend a lot of time in the sun. Because
the pharmacist probably told you that.
Right.
And you probably were on, well, maybe it's doxycycline, or there are some antibiotics. And
I think it was doxycycline.
Yeah. And in general, drugs, lots of drugs say they could be photosensitizing. But it's only a few people that are photosensitive. There are only a few people that can't go out in the sun. So when the pharmacist tells you, oh, yeah, you can't go out in the sun, well, he's telling 999 patients something that's never going to give them trouble, and also implying that if you use sunscreen, it'll be okay. Well, when you're really sun-sensitive to a drug, you could walk from here to your car at 7:30 in the morning and get a, quote, sunburn.
Oh.
A few people, a tiny number of people, have real sun sensitivity with a few drugs, some antibiotics. Most people don't have any trouble at all. It's like the side effect saying, well, it might upset your stomach. Yeah, but if you don't have it, you don't have it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. I haven't really been avoiding it. I just haven't had a chance to be outside much since that event. So, and I'm not showing, when I have been out, I'm certainly not looking like I'm burning. So no, I guess I'm okay.
Tough. Yeah, it's pretty tough to get a sunburn right now, but it's a pretty odd weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw that sun, the angle of the sun changes, you know, obviously, and there's more daylight. And that, I don't know, how much protecting should we be doing on our skin?
Well, I think that ordinarily there's not a lot of sunning availability before April 15th. And usually it's not, that is, we don't have this kind of weather. And the sun is pretty low in the sky. So I'm not too keen on having patients put on sunscreen all winter long. And I usually say, well, after April 15th, you can get a burn in Wisconsin. I don't think it's real likely that you're going to burn before that time. I don't see a good reason to use sunscreen now. But, you know, yesterday, there's enough time that you could actually be out in the sun that maybe there's a little bit, maybe one should start using the sunscreens earlier on a day like yesterday. But ordinarily, I think between April 15th and October 15th, use your sunscreen when you're going to get burned. But otherwise, let's not get too excited about it.
Cindy in De Pere has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Hey, I was listening to public radio the other night, and there was a program on that was the On Point program.
Yes.
And they were talking with people from the Silent Spring Institute and discussing all these harmful chemicals that are in supposedly products that are good for us, and one of them was sunscreen. And I don't believe they ever came up with an answer as to a sunscreen that we could use that would not have these harmful chemicals. They were even saying that too much sunscreen could cause cancer.
Well, there has been some controversy about that. So the controversies about sunscreens include, one, we don't want to protect ourselves too much, so because we need some vitamin D. So you need to get out and, you know, take the top off the off your, you know, expose your forehead or your face or your hands or your body to a little bit of sun, so you can get some vitamin D, and that's a reasonably safe way to do it. And then, and so that controversy is sort of going on now, and there's the, you know, the crazy people on the one side and the crazy people way on the other side. But, you know, in the middle, it's going to be fine. Don't go too crazy. And I think the same thing is going on with this argument, that we don't know what all these chemicals can do. We don't know what the combination of all these chemicals will do. We don't know what the combination of the chemicals that we're going to use in the new sunscreens tomorrow will do. So we have to study everything for 20 years. Well, then we couldn't possibly use anything ever. So no one seems to be getting more sun cancer or skin cancers from using sunscreens. That doesn't seem to be the case. I think the most, the best data that I can see is basically from what I see in my practice. And that is, when patients that are now in their 80s and 90s, they have lots of skin cancers. But their parents' generation would never think about taking off their clothes and going out in the sun. My grandfather wore long sleeves all the time, and he had baby skin his whole life. Then the next generation said, well, all those movie stars go get a tan in Mexico and California. I better get a tan, too. And then they got all kinds of skin cancers. And that still goes on. I don't think that, you know, I'm sort of loosey-goosey about these things, and I may not be concerned enough. But I think that lots of stuff that you put on your skin is really not going to make a whole lot of difference for your health. So I'm not a big believer in being overcautious about the chemical world.
And they, I'm thinking about it as you were talking here, and I'm thinking, okay, well, what's the, if you don't use it and wind up getting sunburned terribly, you know, there's that side of it too.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to emphasize time of day. And if you're going to be going to Florida next week and you're going to be going out at noon for 2 hours on the beach, no matter what you use on your skin, you're probably going to get burned. So don't go out at noon. Go out in the morning. Go out in the later in the afternoon. You know, sit under the palm tree on, you know, at noon and have lunch. And then second is clothing. There's lots of you know, comfortable beach clothing and swimming clothing and bicycling clothing, who have long sleeves, and they're looking more, you know, like you're with it when you wear one of those long sleeve shirts out on the beach, a surfer shirt. So I think we can, and then sunscreens would be third, and I don't have any problem with whatever's in the sunscreen, because they have to be, they have to do something, they have to be effective filters of the sun. But we can, you could use zinc oxide, which is just zinc oxide, and you could coat your body in that. I have no idea if there's any absorption of zinc or not. No one's done that study. And in the future, we will have something that more mimics your own melanin that's going to be manufactured. Well, just think how expensive that one's going to be.
Yeah, that'll be, could be expensive. Cindy, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And Mary Beth put a note up on our Facebook page and says it's still so tempting to get as many rays as possible, of course, until the dry, wrinkly skin and sun damage appear. And she sighs a little bit and says, my red-haired, fair-skinned sister-in-law says pale skin is beautiful skin. Of course, she's right. What do you think?
Well, I think that's if you can possibly not, you know, let me say it this way. There are some people that just can't go out in the sun, and it's just too bad. But there's a lot of things that we just can't individually do, and we have to accommodate for that and say, okay, sun's not my deal. I'm not going to go out in the sun. And other people might say, well, peanuts aren't my deal because I get allergic. So what are you going to do about it? It's a real world, and you have the skin you have, and you just have to take every opportunity not to get burned.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen a red-haired person with a deep tan, and I never have. I think
no.
People get that message fairly early.
Yeah, and many people do. They say, it's not worth it for me to go out in the sun because I'm just so uncomfortable, and I'm just going to have to find a bunch of red-haired friends.
There you go. Well, Mary, by the way, you can join in if you have a question or comment for our guest here as we talk about skin care with Dr. Dick Niles. 1-800-642-1234. You can call that number, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment there. An email from Mary in Duluth. I've always had dry, rough hands and wondering why. I currently have one of those cracks at the top of my thumb that requires bandaging to heal. What ingredients and lotions would help this? I would think pH would be very important for moisturizing, but it never is listed on the common lotions.
Yeah, dry skin, especially in the wintertime, maybe not quite so bad this winter because it hasn't been so uncomfortably dry. But dry skin is certainly a problem, and there are a few components. And one component is genetics. Some people never get dry hands. The second would be winter, so low humidity. That's a problem. And then third would be wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. So the more you're washing your hands and drying them, the more your water is being extracted from your hands and your whole skin. So we want to make sure that you're not washing with harsh soaps or maybe overwashing. Well, everybody thinks that we're supposed to be, you know, clean.
Yeah.
And the problem is then we develop some microscopic cracks or macroscopic cracks, bigger cracks, and they're oozy and messy, and there's a whole bunch of bacteria hanging around in those things. So you might have more bacteria on your hands if you have dry, cracked hands than if you didn't wash your hands quite so much. And I think antibacterial soaps are way too harsh. So we think we're supposed to use those to get rid of the bacteria, but maybe we just get rid of the easier bacteria and then dry the bejesus out of our hands, and then we have all the dry, cracked areas. So I think that if we wash our hands when we need to, not use an antibacterial soap if we're trying to get our hands clean, but if you're trying to get viruses off your hands so you don't get the flu, you might want to use one of the hand sanitizers, but they seem like they should be real drying because they're 60% alcohol.
Yeah.
But Purell and some others now are not so harsh, and they tend not to be so drying. Now, they might sting because there's alcohol in there, but they're not so harsh. So that's what I would say would be the ways to clean your hands. And then gloves so you don't dry your hands out too much. Thick creams. So if you're using a lotion, you put on the lotion, and you can just go about your business. You probably haven't done much. You need to use something that's so thick that you can't do anything for 5 minutes, whether that's Vaseline or Neutrogena or anything that's thick. And then lastly, super glue in those cracks will seal them together, and they won't hurt.
There you go. So you just lay the super glue right in the opening and close the...
Yeah, splay the opening open a little bit, and then put the super glue in there. Wait 20 seconds. Don't put super glue all over the end of your finger. Then that all has to peel off, and you get rid of, and you peel off all the skin that's supposed to keep the water in by, and you make it a poorer barrier. So we want to keep the barrier function of the skin by keeping it moist with the thick creams. Then you should be better off.
Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist who practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Net as we talk with Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist here in Wisconsin, practicing in Oconomowoc and Watertown. Great to have him along, and thank you for listening in. Abby in Eau Claire has a question for you, Dr. Niles. So let's go there. Hi, Abby.
Hi. My question, actually, the previous caller was asking about sunblock and sunscreens, and something that my family utilized this last summer was coconut oil, and I was wondering if the doctor had ever run into people using that and if he had an opinion on it at all.
Coconut oil. I know my wife's big into healthy oils, and I think we've been talking about that as something to eat. But I would think if it's something on the skin, it would make your skin more absorptive, and you would, and it's like putting baby oil on in that people used to do in the 60s. So that doesn't sound good to me, unless there's some other ingredients in there that I don't know about.
Hmm.
I think the reason that, I mean, we've done a lot of research on it, and I actually know some other families that have used it, is since it does, it's different than kind of like a butter or baby oil in its, the chains of the fatty acids with it, and it's got a higher burn point than any other oil. And so the idea is that, and then also it's a natural oil, so it's going to keep your skin hydrated. I guess that was something that we used. We used it in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, with our children, and nobody got a burn. For 10 days we were in the sun straight using it, and it was
great.
Phenomenal. So I don't know if that's something the doctor can look more into or whatnot, but something definitely an alternative to
some of the other things.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to think about that and see about that, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, okay, take a look and see what's out there. Yep. Thanks, Abby. Christy and Hazelhurst, it's your turn. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My son has contracted the herpes simplex virus and cold sore, and it blistered, and now there's this big scab on the corner of his mouth, and it's you know, every time he opens his mouth, it cracks a little bit. And I was wondering if there's anything that you can put near the mouth to help keep that soft so it can heal. It's been over a week now.
Yeah. Herpes simplex cold sores last for about a week, and then what's left is just the scabbing, which may be a thing that's broken open as you open your mouth, or there could be some bacterial infection there.
Okay.
85% of us have all have antibodies to herpes simplex, so it's a very common thing. It's not a important thing. He may get a few more. He may get them frequently now for the next few years, and then they'll peter out, and he'll get fewer as time goes on.
Okay.
There are ointments that we can use at the time of the cold sore and pills you can take at the time of the cold sore. But now to help heal that up, you could use something as simple as Vaseline petroleum jelly or an antibiotic ointment. Would be fine, but I think you just need to grease it up, and I think that wouldn't be some lotion, but it would be a Vaseline kind of thing.
And he's 6 years old, so I worry about, you know, the stuff like Vaseline, that's okay to be near the mouth and not, you know, if he ingests it a little bit, it's not going to be a problem?
I think there's a problem with inhaling Vaseline.
Okay.
But I can't imagine that there's a problem with Vaseline there. And, you know, Vaseline's used on diaper areas all the time, and the skin of your anus and your lips is about the same.
There you go.
Sorry, Larry. I didn't want to gross anybody out.
Well, that's all right. Thanks, Christy. Appreciate the call. Nick in Green Bay, we're turning to you now. Thank you for calling.
I just got a quick question. I tuned in a little bit late, so I missed the answer, but I got acne kind of bad. So the doctor put me on something that starts with like a doxin or something for it. And on the side of the pill bottle, it says to stay out of the sun. The only problem is I'm in the sun 10 hours a day. Like, it's great out here right now. I'm out in the sun right now.
Okay.
What should I be concerned about being in the sun with this medicine?
Apparently nothing.
Oh, okay.
So if the pill says you might get stomach upset and you don't get stomach upset, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it just
there are only a few patients. Only a small percentage of patients are photosensitive from any medication. So the pharmacists don't get that. I had a kid with acne, and the mom was sitting there, and I said, and when the pharmacist tells you to avoid the sun, don't pay any attention to it, because it's only one in a thousand. And the mom said, well, I'm a pharmacist. and I said, but it's only one out of a thousand. I mean, if it was one out of a thousand, why do you put that on there? And she said, yeah, I guess we'll have to rethink that.
All right, well, thanks. That's perfect then.
Yeah, all right. Thanks a lot for calling. Probably there's some sort of liability.
No, you know what I think it is? If we give you all this information, aren't we better people? If we give you like 100,000 pieces of information, that's so much better than just giving you the worst three.
There we go. Tom in Cashton. On to you. Hi, Tom.
Okay. You got me?
Yep.
Okay, three-part question, very quick, all connected. One, do dermatologists handle plantar warts?
Yes.
If so, what's the treatment? And then I've read that the cure is often worse than the original disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plantar warts are caused by a virus like every other wart is. So they're the same warts as you get on your hands or you get someplace else. So warts are warts. Now, on the sole of the foot, I don't like using liquid nitrogen like I like to use on the rest of your body because it hurts a lot, but it doesn't injure skin very much because those soles are too thick. So I would, if you had one wart that wasn't bigger than a half an inch across, I would inject Novocaine and scoop it out, and 90% of those warts are gone. And if you don't use the electric needle too much, then you don't really get much of a scar. If you have multiple warts, or you're a little kid, or you're in the middle of your basketball season, then I have other treatments that I use that sort of get your own immune system going to help get rid of the warts, and that takes a couple treatments, but it's not painful.
Okay. So, in other words, if it's just like a 1 to 1.5 centimeters, it can be taken care of in my dermatologist's office.
It's a little bit big, but yes, it certainly can be. I don't think that you need to have some sort of laser treatment that has been real popular, but the problem with lasers is that they wanted to be really precise and just get rid of the wart. But the problem is you have microscopic warts all around that big wart, and we need your immune system to help get rid of it. We need you to have sort of a sloppy wound that tends to heal up in a messy way to get your immune system going.
Hmm.
Okay, I'll leave it up to the guy that handles my squamous surgery.
Okay, see what you think.
Thank you for calling. And Mary in Duluth, hello to you.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a rash from my elbow to my shoulder, and like three, it's in the back of my arm, and I'm in the pool 3 times a week for aerobics. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get any better. The pharmacist told me to use cortisone 10, and if that doesn't help, go to the doctor. Well, what it does is prevent the itching, but it doesn't. The rash has not gone down, and somebody in the pool yesterday told me it looks much redder. So is there any, I know you can't see it, but do you have a clue what could cause it only in that spot?
Sure. I have two ideas.
Good.
Is it all kinds of little bumpy stuff like each one of the hair? Okay. I have no idea. No, I know exactly what that is.
Go ahead.
Called keratosis pilaris. And keratosis is thickening, and pilaris refers to the hair follicle. So this is a thickened, dry skin hair follicle business on the back of the arms. Before puberty, it can be on the cheeks, and sometimes it's on the legs. But I think the swimming in the pool is great, and I don't want you to stop that, but it is drying, and it's sort of making the problem worse. So we want to use really, I think after you're done in the pool, you should probably rinse off, maybe use a little bit of Dove soap to wash the back of your arm, some really gentle soap, and then then you're standing there dripping wet, wipe the water off with your hands, take a couple drops of baby oil, and just rub that into that wet skin, and then dry off.
Okay, because I've been using every kind of lotion.
Yep.
You know, the Eucerin and baby oil
that.
When I'm still wet.
Well, that's the way I would start. And then there are other lotions that are more specific, and it can get red and inflamed around each one of those follicles, and it can look pretty bad. So a little bit of sunshine helps, and a little bit more humidity with that baby oil. And if you do that every day, I think it'll be gradually better.
There you go.
So much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Lynette. I've been suffering, it's kind of related in a way, I've been suffering from this recurring ongoing rash on my palm since September. 2 visits to the dermatologist haven't helped. He prescribed clobetasol ointment and gave me a steroid shot in January. No improvement there. Some tiny white pustules pop up, and when they break open, a triple antibiotic ointment seems to relieve the discomfort once it peels and flakes. Could this possibly be an allergic reaction to plain yogurt? I eat an average of 8 to 10 ounces daily. If it's from this brand, would another brand be an alternative?
No, it's not from what you eat. This is either, if it's a localized spot, like a
sounds like
dollar,
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then and you could have one on each palm or even on the foot. You can have localized pustular psoriasis, and it's not an easy thing to take care of because you need some pretty heavy-duty cortisone on the surface and other things. If it's more of a diffuse thing, it could be eczema, and that's usually little blistery things between the fingers. And then lastly, if it's just on one palm, it might be fungus if both of your feet are also involved. So I'm thinking that it may need just extra treatment on that one patch on your hand, but if we were talking, I think we could get a little bit closer with that one. Sorry.
Okay. Risha in Gays Mills, hello to you.
Hi, Larry. My question is concerning my 14-year-old teenage son has terrible, terrible, painful back knee. We've been to a dermatologist, and they prescribed an antibiotic, and now we've been doing proactive, their three-step treatment, and it just doesn't seem to help. They're big, they're painful. I don't know what to do.
Well, everybody's acne can be taken care of.
Okay.
And whether you use one antibiotic or there are different antibiotics. So there are the tetracycline family, tetracycline, doxycycline, minocycline, and then there's the sulfa family. And there are antibiotics that should be that should help it. And 98% of acne patients can be taken care of with, for instance, his acne with an antibiotic orally and a soap on his back, similar to the proactive benzoyl peroxide soap that you're using now, but there are some a little stronger. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is going to be the antibiotics. Now, okay. If he's not doing well with the antibiotics, and it takes 6 weeks to see progress with fewer and fewer and fewer new cysts, then Accutane is certainly a possibility. And Accutane is a great drug, been out since 82 or 83. It's for those top, most difficult 1 or 2% of patients. You take this super-duper vitamin A derivative drug for 20 weeks, and 90% of people are cured. Done, never get acne again.
Is Accutane, that's an over-the-counter or prescription?
It's a prescription under real close supervision.
Okay. And that has to be through a dermatologist? Is that a GP?
Probably.
A dermatologist.
Yeah. But there might be another step before you get there with a different antibiotic. So don't fool around with this. It can be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. We've tried a variety of things, and they just don't seem to work. And I feel so bad.
Well, the proactive ain't going to do it. It's got to be an oral antibiotic or the Accutane.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Right. Yeah, thanks a lot, Risha. Joey in Downers Grove, Illinois. Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, what can we do for you?
Hi, I'm just at work. I have a question. I have, it's toenail. Dry and brittle. One of my toenails is white. Not like a green or dark fungus. I just want to get rid of it. I mean, it doesn't hurt or anything like that, but it's just, you know, unattractive. So anything.
It's under, under the toenail or?
It's basically like I can cut it to a certain degree away, and then, like, once it grows out, it gets white under the toenail. Yeah.
Okay. Is your sole all flaky and red?
It's not really red. It's just a white. It just looks white. It doesn't really have any flakiness. I mean, the nail is brittle.
No, I mean your
sole of your foot.
Well, I'm a welder, so I'm in boots all day, so I don't know.
No. That's not the question. Just because you wear shoes doesn't mean you get to have a thick, white, scaly, stinky feet. That doesn't work. That's fungus.
Okay.
Okay. So fungus in your toenail has to be on your foot, also.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking about that, because there are new lasers that can get rid of the toenail fungus. I'm not really sure how well they work. When new technology comes out, it has lots of hype, and then maybe a bunch of fizzle at the end, but I don't know about that. But the Lamisil pills, the generic Lamisil pills now, work great. The sole of your foot would be clear, even though you're still a welder next month, it would be clear.
Okay.
And your toenail would take, you'd be on it for 3 months, and then your toenail would grow out and be normal. And that happens maybe 80% of the time. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but 80% is not too bad.
Right. So Lamisil is a prescription?
Yes.
Drug? Okay. Okay.
There you go. Thank you, Joey, for calling. Appreciate it. And Rachel and Nina, it is your turn. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling about my 10-year-old daughter. She has had itchy red scaling on her scalp for probably the last couple years. You know, and she kind of scratches it off and it comes back. So I'm wondering if you know about that.
Sure. There isn't anything such as dry scalp. That doesn't exist. So people talk about my scalp is dry, I need some moisturizer, that's all malarkey. This is either a little bit of psoriasis or a lot of dandruff, and I don't think there's any big difference between them. And this is a fast-growing skin. The skin grows 5 or 6 times faster than it should. Red, scaly skin of the scalp could be in and around the ears, could be on the eyebrows and around the nose. So this is fast-growing extra skin genetically. So she's not going to be able to get rid of it and get it cured forever because it's genetic. Worse in the wintertime, better in the summertime. There are some simple shampoos that one can use, and the more often you use the shampoo, the better off you would be. And then there are some watery cortisones that could rub into the skin that would help it if it gets pretty bad. So an over-the-counter shampoo like tea gel with tar in it or one of the Head and Shoulders shampoos would be where to start.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Jackie in Green Bay. My grandpa and later my mom used a mixture of 1/4 cup of glycerin and 3/4 cup household ammonia as a hand lotion. Thought it smelled bad when applied. They both swore by it as a means of keeping the skin on their hands soft. What do you think of that remedy?
Well, I don't know about the ammonia part, but certainly the glycerin would be good. I don't know quite what happens with ammonia and glycerin if that forms some kind of thicker chemical substance or not. But whatever seems to work would be great. I can't imagine you can cause any harm doing any of those things. So good idea.
Email from John. I've had a few cases of basal cell skin cancer. Recently a growth appeared on my temple. The dermatology clinic didn't seem to take it seriously. It had recently begun getting larger, and I remembered listening to a segment of People's Pharmacy in which a doctor talked about the curative properties of vitamin D. So I have some liquid vitamin D3 in a cholecalciferol form and have been applying it the past few days directly to the growth. As of today, the growth seems smaller. I'm going to buy some more vitamin D. What do you think of that?
Well, good for those vitamin D guys. That's good. You may have, if they looked at it, if a dermatologist looked at it and said, that's not a basal cell skin cancer, then I think that's not a basal cell skin cancer. Mm-hmm. It may be a seborrheic keratosis, which is a rough, crusty growth that would be difficult for any of us that aren't dermatologists to figure out. And they tend to get bigger and rougher and crustier. And if you grease them up a little bit, then you get rid of some of the surface crust, and they may look a little smaller. Hmm. So that's probably what's going on.
James in Baraboo said, I have cracks behind my ears where they attach to the scalp. They weep a clear liquid. What could I do about them, or what is it, and what could I do about them?
There are two possibilities for cracks behind the ears. You could have localized dandruff or psoriasis in that area, or you could have eczema. And it's hard to know, even when you're looking at it, which one it is. But that's where a mild cortisone, usually in an ointment form, a Vaseline form of over-the-counter cortisone, might be all you need.
And Leslie in Preston, Minnesota. Hello.
Hi. Boy, I want to thank the doctor for being on. What a wealth of information and common sense and wonderful speaker. But I
thank
had
you
to call.
Very much.
Oh, just wonderful. I'm calling about the lady that had the cracks on her fingers. I work with paper all day long and have always had cracks in the winter, and they hurt like heck, and every night I bandage them up with some salve and Band-Aids, and all winter I've had at least 2 on each hand. Well, I finally found something that works. Amlactin, the lotion Amlactin, it's over-the-counter, behind-the-counter, but not over-the-counter. Over-the-counter, but behind-the-counter,
mm-hmm.
something like
right.
that. And I think I used it 4 days and just like once in the morning and once at night. And in 4 days, I haven't had a crack since then. I don't know if it's the warmer weather or if it's a coincidence, but whatever it is, I'm using it.
You're happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amlactin is alpha hydroxy acid, and we thought this would be, this is the first alpha hydroxy acid, and there are many since then. We thought this would be great. It's been pretty good. It comes as a cream, a heavier one, and a lotion, a thinner one. It stings a little bit on some people, but its two jobs are to, one, to help hold water in the skin, and the second one is to help decrease the glue between the surface cells so they peel off a little bit faster so your hands aren't thick and then dry, but thinner and a little bit moist. So that's a good thing if it works for you. It doesn't work for everybody.
Thanks, Leslie, for calling. Appreciate it. And Scott in Waukesha, it's your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've got something behind my ear that started out as what I thought was a pimple, and now it's progressed to, I think it's a boil. And it's kind of strange because in the morning when I get up, it's fairly flat. And I checked the pillow. I thought maybe that it had popped and drained at night, but during the day it tends to enlarge again and get quite puffy. It's about an inch long, and I'm wondering if this is a boil, if I should just let it run its course, use warm compresses, or when it gets to the point where I should maybe go in and see somebody about it.
Well, it probably is a boil, and because it's on your earlobe, maybe it's not quite on your earlobe, then maybe gravity, some fluid gets down in there as you're upright, and maybe it gets a little more swollen. But it sounds like there, if it's sore, if it's red, then it is an abscess. It's full of pus. It's full of bacteria. And the best way to do that is to inject Novocaine around it and put a knife in it and drain it out. And you may have to be on antibiotics, but we like to drain them out so that you don't have to be on antibiotics, because some bacteria are resistant to some antibiotics, and we may not choose the right one. But mainly draining out pus is an important thing to do, so that would help get rid of it. Or if it's not inflamed, you could have it cut out and vamoose that way.
Mm. There you go. Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate your call. And Dr. Niles, thank you so much. The time flew by.
It sure did, and I'm glad we're finished now because that's all I know.
I doubt that. Thank you so much, Dick.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Dr. Dick Niles, our guest dermatologist, practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown, our guest, and I'm sure we'll have him back, and we'll do this again and talk with him again about skin care. We're going to switch gears today and zero in on Down syndrome. One of the reasons we want to talk about it today is because there's some really new and wonderful resources that we have available here in Wisconsin. And Dr. Anna Dusick, who is a UW Health Development pediatrician, is with us to talk about it. And that's our topic next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.